Father, we thank you for your word. As we look into it, we remember that as it is written, your word is the perfect law of liberty. You said that we should continue in your word, and if we do so, we will be your disciples indeed, and we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. Thank you, therefore, that what we are hearing this morning will bring freedom to us from everything contrary to your will in all aspects of our lives. Your word is the truth. Your word is quick and powerful. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Your word is able to separate between that which is of the spirit and that which is of the flesh in every one of us. Your word is able to accomplish the good pleasure of your holy will in all aspects of our lives. And so we submit to your word this morning, and we thank you for speaking to us and helping us to understand that which you are saying to us as your church by your Holy Spirit this morning. We give you all the glory, mighty God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Galatians chapter 5. The last time we began to look at the subject that we titled Walk in the Spirit. In other words, we have to understand that as Christians, our calling is a spiritual calling first and foremost, and we have to walk in the realm to which God has called us. In coming to Christ, we became new creation, Bible says. And the new creation that we have in Christ is according to God's own divine nature. That's why Bible says we are partakers of his divine nature. And we all know that Bible teaches us that God is spirit. God himself is spirit. And if we are going to walk with him, we have to learn to walk in the spirit, because that's where God himself is. And when we walk in the spirit, our walk in the spirit will affect all other areas of our lives. That's the way to walk in the fullness of the blessings that belong to us in Christ. Many of us want the blessings to manifest in our lives, but we are operating in the realm of the flesh, where the blessings don't really flow from. You see, when we are in the flesh, we cannot experience the blessings of God in our lives. Bible says no man in the flesh can please God. So if we are not pleasing God, then we are not in faith, because faith is the means by which we please God. So flesh and faith don't go together. The moment I get myself in the flesh, I'm not in faith, I'm not pleasing God. And if I'm not pleasing God and I'm not in faith, I cannot receive the blessings from God. Galatians chapter 3 verse 14, we shall say it in a short while. Bible says the way we receive the blessings, keyword receive, because God has already provided it for us. We just have to come and receive it. And the way we receive it, according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 14, is by faith. Through the Holy Spirit. We don't get it in the flesh. We get it in the Spirit by the help of the Holy Spirit, and only through faith. That is, by living and acting upon the Word of God. We believe it with our hearts and we act upon it in obedience. It's not enough to say, well, I believe God's Word, so I'm in faith. No. Bible says, show your faith by your works. If you believe what the word of God says, then you have to act accordingly. Because in James chapter 2, Bible says, a man may say, well, I believe there is only one God. What have you done? Nothing. Because even the devils believe that, and they tremble. In other words, you have to add works to your faith, you have to show your faith by your action of obedience. And then that faith becomes pleasing in God's sight, and He rewards you for that obedience by blessing you with all the blessings that He has prepared for you in His everlasting kingdom. This is the way for us as Christians, and we have to wake up and arise from our spiritual slumber and begin to walk in the light of Christ, particularly in these last days, because Bible tells us that as this age comes to an end, there is going to be darkness in all the earth, and gross darkness will be upon the people of this world. That's apart from us who are Christians, because as Christians we are children of light, we are not children of darkness. But the people of the world who don't have Christ are going to be in gross darkness, according to Isaiah chapter 60. And they are going to be in confusion, because when there is darkness, there will be confusion, lack of understanding of what to do. And they will just be, you know, going up and down, walking in circles and really not knowing what to do. And we all know that that's already happening in the world right now. People are confused everywhere. They don't know what to do, because the devil knows his time is short and is doing as much damage as he can before God will take him out of the way. But we thank God that as Christians, we have the advantage over the devil. We have the wisdom of God. We have the light of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We have the resources of the kingdom of heaven at our disposal. But if we don't take advantage of what God has equipped us with in Himself, then we are going to live below our potential, and we are not going to be different, you know, from the people that don't have Christ, because we are not taking advantage of what Christ has brought for us. This is why we have to understand that we need to walk in the Spirit. The people of the world can't walk in the Spirit because they don't have the capacity to do so. But as Christians, we have the capacity to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, to do everything in the Spirit, because Jesus Christ has brought us into that realm of victory through the Holy Spirit. And so, Galatians chapter 5, and last time we really did highlight some basic things. But let us back up again to verse 13 and remind us of one thing we did say then. Because, you see, we've been called to liberty as Christians. But we have to understand that the liberty we've been called to is not liberty to do what we like. That now I'm free, therefore I can do what I like. No, that's not the liberty Bible is talking about. We must not, you know, wrongly divide the word of truth. Verse 1 again, because we looked at that the last time before we look at verse 13. It says, "There stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." In other words, we've been made free from bondage. Bondage to what? Bondage to sin. Bondage to corruption. Because Adam put us in bondage to sin in the Garden of Eden, and Jesus Christ has come to set us free from that bondage. He was made sin for us so that we might become, Bible says, the righteousness of God in Him. And in Romans chapter 8, Bible says, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death." So the liberty is a liberty to walk in a new life now. It's not liberty to do our own thing. No, it's a liberty to walk in the nature of God, the liberty to live our lives in accordance to God's original plan for man. Because when man sinned, we lost our way in the garden. We lost the fellowship with God, because Bible tells us God sent Adam out of the garden and put an angel to guard it. So Adam had lost the place where he belonged in God's perfect will. And now he had to toil. He had to suffer. He was now going to till a ground that was cursed. And in the process, he's going to suffer and be in much sorrow and agony. But thank God Jesus has come to set us free from that, so that we can now walk in God's best for us as men. But the liberty, again, let me emphasize, is not liberty for us to do what we like. No, it is liberty now to live our lives according to God's original purpose and plan, which Adam lost in the garden. And so in verse 13 of Galatians chapter 5, Bible says, "For brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." So please underline that in your Bible. Don't use your liberty to serve your flesh. Don't use liberty to do the works of the flesh and say, "Well, Bible says I've been made free in Christ, so it doesn't matter what I do. Grace just covers it, because now that I'm a Christian, I have liberty to do what I like." No, that is not true. That is a lie of the devil to snare us into bondage again from what God has already made us free in Christ Jesus. Now we have to understand that. And let's quickly look at Philippians chapter 2. While we are there, we are coming back to Galatians chapter 5. You see, we are free from the law of sin and death, but we are not free to do what we like. We are free now, actually, to live a lifestyle of obedience to God by the help of the Holy Spirit. What we couldn't do in the flesh by our own human effort, Jesus has come to give us the capacity to do by his own grace through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in every one of us as Christians. Philippians chapter 2. Let us read together verse 12. Let's go. "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Notice Bible says there we have to obey. So God is emphasizing a need for obedience for us as Christians. So God is not saying, "Well, you've been free. Now you have liberty to do what you like. You can even disobey God's word. It doesn't matter, because you are a Christian and you are living in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free." So the liberty is not liberty to disobey God. Actually, it is liberty to obey God, as we see here. And that is why verse 13 then says, "For it is God which worketh in you." You see, that's the difference between us and unbelievers that are in the world. They don't have God in them. So God cannot work in them. God can work from outside them in order to bring them into Christ, so that he could then live inside of them and begin to guide them. But for us who are Christians, God is already living in us in order to walk in us his own way of obedience, his own will, and his own desire, and his own pleasure. God has not come to live in us to allow us to do what we like and grieve him all day long. No. He wants us to please him. He's at work in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Because if we are not pleasing him, then we are grieving him. Bible warns us about that. Bible says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit, by whom you have been sealed unto the day of redemption." In other words, don't do things that are against the way of the Holy Spirit in you. In other words, don't do things that are disobedient, because the Holy Spirit is the spirit of obedience. And if we do things that are against the word of God, then we are walking in disobedience and we are grieving the Holy Spirit who is in us. You see, there is no excuse for disobeying God's word. for us as Christians, because we have the capacity to obey him if we allow the Holy Spirit in us to walk in us and to help us to do the right thing. For instance, the people of the world, we all remember, Bible tells us that there is a spirit working in them, which is the spirit of disobedience, the prince of the power of the air. Bible describes him, that's the devil, the spirit that walks in the children of disobedience. So for us to then walk in disobedience means we are grieving the spirit of God in us, because the spirit we have in us is not the spirit of the world. It's not the spirit of the devil who is leading people in disobedience, but the spirit of God who has come to lead us in ways of obedience. So it is important we all understand that. Now let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. And then verse 16 says, again, let's read that together. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the Bible tells us the way to overcome the flesh. God does not want us to focus on the flesh and be struggling with it. God wants us to focus on the way of the Spirit, so that when we focus on the way of the Spirit and we are walking in the way of the Spirit, the way of the flesh will not have any room in our lives. There will be no place for the flesh in us when we are walking in the Spirit, because the two cannot be in operation at the same time. If I'm in the Spirit, I'm not in the flesh. And if I'm in the flesh, I'm not in the Spirit. And as we shall see today, there is a choice to make. This is where our own choices come in. God is already living in us to walk, to will, and to do of his pleasure. But he will not force himself on us. God is in us to help us, but not to force us. He will never force us, just like he didn't force Adam to obey him. God was with Adam in the garden. Bible says God will come every day and fellowship with Adam. But God would not force Adam to obey him. God gave Adam the freedom of choice, the will. And that is why even as Christians today, we have that freedom to choose whether we want to obey God or just do our own thing and please ourselves. Whenever we are in the flesh, we are pleasing ourselves, not God. And whenever we are in the Spirit, we are pleasing God, not ourselves. In most cases, to please God will take some sacrifice from us. There will be some aspects where we have to displease ourselves in order to please God. That's why Jesus came and gave us the clue by saying, not my will, but thine be done. In other words, I have to sacrifice my own will, my own pleasure, my own desire, lay them aside, and embrace the pleasure of God, the desire of God, the will of God, the purpose of God. And so the two are not the same. My will and the will of God in most cases are not the same. The ways of God are higher than my ways, Bible says. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts in Isaiah chapter 55. But then if I begin to make the right choices to say, well, I'm not going to do my own pleasure, I'm not going to please myself, the Holy Spirit in me, who is there to help me to do the pleasure of God, will rise up, because I've made the right choice to seek the will of God and not my own. He will then take over at that point and give me the strength to see that desire through at that point in time. That's the way it works. It's a daily thing. Nobody wakes up one day and becomes perfect forever. No, we walk daily in the will of God perfectly. It's a daily thing. Jesus said anyone that will follow after him must deny himself, take up his cross daily. You see, it's a daily thing. We have to do it day by day. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, anyone that will come after him must deny himself, take up his cross daily. The cross there symbolizes the sacrifice we need to make. In other words, in that we leave our own way aside and we say, not my will, but God's will be done. That's what the cross symbolizes. It's a point of sacrifice where I say, well, I'm going to do it God's way, not my way. And Jesus said, we have to do that daily and then we'll be able to follow him. He didn't say, well, since you've confessed me as Savior and Lord, and that day of salvation that you have made the confession, that ends everything. You don't need to do anything anymore. Just coast through life now that you are a Christian. No, you have to do it daily. You have to do it daily. Say to your neighbor, you have to do it daily. Amen. Father, let's just quickly look at that scripture so that we can put it as frontlet between our eyes. Luke chapter 9, and hear directly from the mouth of Jesus, the head of the church. You see, the body has to obey the head. We are the body. We are not the head. Jesus is the head. He has authority over the body. And the body cannot do what it likes. The body must obey the authority of the head, and that is Jesus himself. He said, if we love him, we have to obey his words. Let's read together verse 23. And he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You see, Jesus said, if any man, because it's no respecter of persons, it doesn't matter where I'm coming from, whether I was born with golden spoon in my mouth, or whether I was born with silver spoon, or maybe I was even born with wooden spoon, that does not matter to Jesus. My background does not matter to Jesus. When I come to Jesus, I come to him on a level ground as anyone else would come to him. He is no respecter of persons. Jesus is not moved by the things that move us in this world, because we have class system in the world. Well, this person is high society, that person is middle class, that person is low class. There's no place like that in Christ. When we come to Christ, the ground is level. It's no respecter of persons. And that's why he said, when we come to him, the first thing is to deny ourselves. Forget about your background. Forget about your pride. Forget about anything that you call your own. Remember Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3. He said, all the things that were gained unto me. You see, he had so much to boast about, because he told them, if any man had any reason to boast, he had more than any man. And it gave us in Philippians chapter 2 all the reasons why he could boast more than any man. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Concerning the law, perfect, no blame at all. And then he studied under Gamaliel, the very best in his days. But when it came to Christ, he said, all those things are dung. Now I sacrifice them. I count them dung so that I may win Christ. You see the key? I cannot hold on to my flesh and hold on to Christ at the same time. No, I have to let go of the flesh in order to hold on to Christ. You can't hold on to the two together. And that's the problem we have in the church today. Many of us want Christ, but we don't want to let go of our flesh. We still want our own pleasure. We want to serve God on our own terms. And God does not accept that from us. No. You either do it God's way or no way at all. Bible says we can't mock God. No, we can't mock God. We'll just be deceiving our own selves. That's why we have to awake. We have to arise. You see, we just need to shake ourselves up a little bit. Get out of the flesh and begin to walk in the Spirit, because that's where we belong. Say to your neighbor, the Spirit is where we belong. We don't have any business in the flesh. As Christians. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. Now again, we just have to awake. Just awake. Say to your neighbor one more time, awake. Turn quickly to Ephesians chapter 5 with me. You see, once we just challenge ourselves, particularly in these last days, Bible says one thing we need to be doing is to exhort one another daily. Not occasionally, daily. Exhort one another daily, much more so as you see the day approaching. The return of Jesus is imminent. Nobody knows when, but well, it can happen at any time, particularly the rapture for us as Christians. Because Jesus said at a time when we don't expect, that's when he will come to take us away. He will just come to take us away suddenly in the twinkling of an eye. Two people will be in the field. One will be taken, one will be left behind. Two people will be at the millstone. One will be taken, the other will be left behind. Two people may lie down on the same bed. One will be taken, the other will be left behind. Why? Because God is no respecter of persons. He's going to take those who are walking in the Spirit. That's what he's telling us. Because the rapture is a spiritual experience. Nobody in the flesh will go in the rapture. I don't care how much you say you are a Christian. If you are in the flesh, you don't go in the rapture. You have to be left behind. You'll be classified as part of the five foolish virgins. The virgin symbolizes the church. So it's not talking of unbelievers. It's talking about believers. And not all believers will go in the rapture. Some believers, so-called believers, will be left behind while the others have been taken away, and they will go through much suffering in this world with the Antichrist because they refused to walk in the Spirit when they had the opportunity. They went to sleep. They went into deep slumber. They forgot about the calling of Christ upon their lives, which is a calling to walk in the Spirit. They just mingled with the world. There is no difference between them and the world. And yet they say they are Christians. No, they are not going in the rapture. They won't go in the rapture. There is scripture upon scripture that warns us about these things. Bible says those of us who are Christians, we should walk in the light so that the day of Christ will not take us by surprise. So that it won't take us like a thief in the night. Because we are in the Spirit, there is a sensitivity in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit himself leading us and helping us to live our lives and prepare us ready. Because it's like the bridesmaid preparing the bride for the return of the bridegroom. So when we are walking in the Spirit, the day of Christ will not take us by surprise. We may not know the day, we may not know the hour, we may not know the year, but sure and steady, we'll be ready to go. If Jesus were to come now, we'll say, yes, Lord! Praise the Lord. And we are gone. Why? Because we've been allowing His Spirit, the Spirit of Christ Himself, to live in us without us grieving Him. And we've been allowing him to be the one at work in us, both to will and to do of the pleasures of God. We've not been doing our own pleasure. We've not been trying to do our own will. We've been seeking the will of God. Now look at Ephesians chapter 5. See, let's exhort one another. And whatever truth any of us has, when you see people who don't have the truth, share it with them. Give them the light. Don't keep the light to yourself. It's part of the responsibility that we have, because these are perilous times. Bible says, darkness is coming upon the world and gross darkness the people. But we, as the children of light, we have to put the light where those who are in the room can see the light and come to the light. We are the salt of the earth. We have to be well flavored by Christ and go about healing the corruption that is in the lives of others. Rather than criticizing them, let's just put the light out for them. If they want the light, they will come. If they don't want it, that's their own problem. Jesus himself said the condemnation is not that the light has not come. The light has come. But men love darkness, so they rejected the light. But at least it brought the light. That's the key. Those who want the light, they came to the light. So you and I have to put the light where people can see. And if they want it, they will take it. If they don't want it, that's their problem. You see? Now, Ephesians chapter 5. Oh, thank God for Jesus. Let us read together so that we can keep it in memory when we left the service here today and allow the Holy Spirit to give us a good understanding of it and also help us to remember this truth daily in Jesus' name. Let's read together from it's such a vast passage of scripture. Let's read from verse 3 together down to verse 16, or better still, verse 17. It's a long passage, but please, when you get home, study it. There are certain passages of scripture that we need to really keep at our fingertips, particularly in these last days, because the devil is very cunning. He's getting many of us as Christians to go into slumber, even telling us that certain things, it doesn't matter if we do them, because grace covers us anyway. We can do those things, it doesn't matter. Remember, you are free in Christ. But you see, the freedom we have, as we said earlier on, is not freedom to indulge in the flesh. Because Bible says, don't use your freedom or your liberty as an occasion to serve the flesh. Now let's go from verse 3 down to verse 17. Let's go. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named once. Oh, sorry. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Amen. Why do you need to understand the will of God if it's not necessary for you to do the will of God? You begin to see that the Christian calling is a serious calling. It is a holy calling. It is a calling to do God's will. Like Jesus, the head of the church, came and gave us the example. He said, not my will, but the will of God be done. He said, I've not come into the world to do my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me. Now, if the head lived that way, how can we as the body live another way and say we are part of the head? No. You see how we've been, allowing the enemy to fool us because we've not been holding on to the truth and challenging ourselves with the truth to come up higher in the Lord and to say, well, I'm going to pay the price necessary, deny myself in order to please God. Many of us don't even care about anything else. All we care about is ourselves. What pleases me? We don't even care whether somebody else is displeased in the process. It's just what pleases me. And that's why we are in slumber. Bible says we need to wake up. Get out of slumber spiritually. And come into the place of alertness where God wants us to be at all times because we are children of light. We cannot walk in the old ways that we used to walk before we came to Christ. Because the Bible says those ways are ways of darkness. You see, we were there sometimes, all of us. Not some of us, all of us. Look at verse 8 again. Say, for you were sometimes darkness. You see, that's why there is no holier than thou in the body of Christ. We all were there before. We were all sinners before because we were all shapen in iniquity. Nobody came to Christ as holy person. No, we were all unclean thing. Because all our self-righteousnesses, Bible says, they are like filthy rags. But thank God we came the same way to Christ as sinners. And then he washed us in his blood. And made us new creation in himself. And gave us his spirit to help us to live the new life. But we must not be like the dog that returns to his own vomit. Or like the swine that goes back to wallow in the mire. He has cleansed us. Let us stay clean by his spirit. This is why we need to walk in the spirit. Again, when you get home, please study this passage. It is self-explanatory, but it challenges every one of us. If this scripture doesn't challenge us as Christians, then I don't know any other scripture that will do. Let's also turn quickly before we highlight what we need to highlight today to Romans chapter 13. So we see a similar instruction there in Romans chapter 13, very similar to what we just read now in Ephesians. And I'll read from verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Please underline your Bible there, the phrase, make no provision. Make no provision. You see, there's responsibility that we have to understand and live up to as Christians. Because, you know, many of us fold our hands and we just say, well, God will do it. Oh, God is at work in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God will just do it. No, God doesn't just do it. God does it if we are willing and obedient. Well, why didn't God just do it for Adam in the garden? Adam was created perfect. He was created holy. Why didn't God just do it? Maybe when he was trying to take, you know, the fruit. Why didn't God slap him from heaven and slap the fruit out of his hand? You know, like some of us would do as parents. Say, no, hit that. No, take it, drop it. But God didn't do that because he wanted Adam to make a choice. Say to your neighbor, it's a choice. God doesn't choose for you. But if you make the right choice, he will help you. It's as simple as that. Amen. So it's about choice. So Bible says, make no provision. That's leaving the responsibility with us. So what provision I make in my life is what would determine my outcome. If I make provision for the flesh, well, I'm going to walk in the flesh. Because I'm sowing to the flesh, I'm going to reap corruption. But if I make provision for the Spirit, well, I'm going to reap life and peace. Because I'm sowing to the Spirit, I'm going to reap from the Spirit. So it's a choice. And we all have to understand that. It's a choice. All right. And that's where we are going today. We have to understand that it is a choice. But quickly, let me just recap on what we said the last time. We did say that walking in the Spirit is more than just being a Christian convert. In other words, it's more than just saying I'm a Christian, I've said the sinner's prayer, and now I'm in the Spirit. It's more than that. That's just a starting point. Why? Because Bible says there are carnal Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 1 to 3. So there are carnal Christians, as Bible says right there. So it's possible for you to be a Christian and actually be walking in the flesh rather than in the Spirit. So don't say, well, I'm a Christian. I've been baptized. So I'm in the Spirit. You can be in the flesh all day long. And if you don't get out of the flesh, if Jesus comes that day, you are left behind. We also said that walking in the Spirit is more than just having a Bible or reading a Bible. And it is also more than just going to church. See, all those things are necessary. You have to have a Bible as a Christian. You have to read your Bible and study it as a Christian. You have to go to church as a Christian. But we have to understand that all those ones are means to an end. They are not the end in themselves. The reason I go to church is to develop my life in the Spirit. The reason I have a Bible and I study the Bible is to develop my life in the Spirit so that I can walk in the Spirit. But if I just have a Bible, go to church, and I don't allow all my studying the Bible, going to church to develop my life in the Spirit, then I'm just wasting my time. And we gave these two scriptures then. James chapter 1 verse 22. Bible says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, that man is just deceiving himself. So having the Bible, hearing the Bible preached, without you obeying it, it's just a waste of time. And also Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 1. Bible says when you go to the house of God, like we are here this morning, we have to understand that the purpose why we have gone to the house of God is to listen to the word of God. That's the number one purpose. So you don't go to church just to meet your friends. You don't go to church just because that church is a high class church. Well, you go to church where you can hear the word of God that will help you to develop your life in the Spirit. That's the key for going to church according to Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 1. Because if you are not doing that, then you are a fool. According to Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 1, you are actually giving yourself the sacrifice of fools because they don't even know that they are doing the wrong thing. The reason we go to church is for the word of God. All other reasons are secondary. If the word of God is not being preached when we go to church, then we are wasting our time. Because how are we going to walk in the Spirit without the word of God? Also, we said the last time that walking in the Spirit involves walking in the word of God by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And we gave all the scriptures. I believe you've been studying them. Psalm 119, verse 105. Because their Bible says the word of God is the lamp to our feet and the light to our path. Then Psalm 119 verse 1-3, the psalmist said, order my steps in your word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me. So what will happen to me if my life is not being ordered in the word of God? Iniquity will dominate me. You see how we put ourselves in trouble? By making the wrong choices. So if somebody says, well, I don't have time for the word of God, well, iniquity will dominate that person according to the Bible. So whether you like it or not, you just open the door for iniquity to have dominion over you because you are not doing what will prevent that from happening. You see? Oh, someone says, well, I don't do anybody evil. And then, you know, I don't expect God to do me evil. How many people know that? Even if you are good to people, they will still do you evil. Sometimes you do good to people, they will repay you with evil. And you'll be wondering, but what have I done to deserve this? But that's how life is, because there's a devil out there. So you just have to know the right thing and just do the right thing for God's, you know, sake, and work out your own salvation. Also, John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So the word of God is spirit and life. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, Bible says there that, you know, the word that we need actually is spirit, because the letter itself kills, but it is the spirit that gives life. So the spirit of the word, in other words, the word that is rightly divided by the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher. That is the way by which we walk in the spirit. Also, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, where Bible tells us all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. In other words, literally, they were given by the breath of God, the Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit moved upon the men that wrote the scriptures, all the prophets of old, to declare what God was saying. And we also said that it is in the place of walking in the Spirit that we can get the blessings of God for us to possess, because that's where the blessings are available. If you want to be blessed by God, you just have to walk in the Spirit. You can't get the blessings of God by walking in the flesh. So if you're in the flesh, just wake yourself up and say, well, I'm in the wrong place. This is not the place of blessing. How can I get blessing from here? Bible says, why are you looking for the living among the dead? You're not going to get the living by going to burial ground. If you want to see people who are alive, don't go to burial ground. Because they don't live there. Say to your neighbor, if you want to get the blessings of God, don't go the way of the flesh. God is not there. Amen. No man in the flesh can please God, Bible says. So you just have to get in the spirit. All right. Psalm 19 verse 11. We highlighted that the last time, because Bible says there that it is in keeping the word of God. That's where the reward is. James chapter 1 verse 25. It is the man that does the word of God that will be blessed in his deed. Galatians chapter 3 verse 14. That we might receive the blessing, you know, through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit through faith. So we need the faith which comes by the word of God. Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 to 14. We all know what is there. The blessings come because we obey the word of God. And to summarize all that, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. You study that again when you get home. Bible says that all the blessings of God are in Christ Jesus, in the Spirit, in the heavenly places. So how am I going to get it without walking in the Spirit? And that was where we stopped the last time. So today, let us make this point and then quickly look at it before we close today. And then next time, we are going to look at some other aspects of this walking in the Spirit. It's very important that we understand it clearly, because this is the calling we have as Christians, and we have to walk the way God wants us to walk, because if Jesus were to come at any point in time, we all have to be ready. Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 verse 6 that he that says he abides in Christ must walk also as Christ walk. Say to your neighbor, if you are a Christian, you have to walk like Christ. No other way. And how did Jesus walk? He walked in the Spirit while he was here. Amen. That's the truth. So if I'm going to walk like Christ, I have to walk in the Spirit, because while he was here, he walked in the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit right from baptism in the river of Jordan, all through his life into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, back out from the wilderness and going about helping people, with all their various situations. Bible says our God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. You see? So God is with us too. We quote it all the time. Oh, God is with me. He has promised never to leave me nor forsake me. But then I get myself in the flesh and I'm saying God is with me. Well, he's with me, but I'm grieving him and I'm making him not to be in a position to help me. We carry the presence of God, but then we are putting him in a position where he can't help us. Imagine what would happen if I get fish and I take it out of the water and I say, oh, this is a beautiful fish. I'm taking it out of its natural habitat, so it can't function anymore. God has the right habitat where he operates. And that habitat is the spirit realm, because God himself is spirit, you see. All right, so today, please write this down. In every circumstance we encounter on a daily basis. So I don't care what comes our way every day. This is common to every one of us. In every circumstance we encounter in our lives every day or on a daily basis, there are two possible ways we can respond. And the choice is ours. Nobody can choose for you. So it's time for us to begin to take responsibility. You know, we like to blame other people. When things don't go right in our lives, we look for somebody to blame. Well, that's the nature of the flesh in us. It didn't originate with us. It originated with our father, Adam. Remember? When he disobeyed God, and God came to him, he was the first person God came to. Not even to Eve. God said, Adam, where are you now? He's gone into hiding. Come out, come out. So he came out of hiding. Oh, he said, I heard your voice, and I was afraid. He never knew fear before. Now, the flesh has come, fear has come. Ah! Who told you you are naked now? What happened? Ah! It's the woman that you gave me. That's the problem. The woman is the problem. And it's your fault. You gave. You see, even blame God. Ah! God, it is your fault. I was fine before you gave me this woman. I didn't even ask you for her. God have mercy on us. And God said, okay, all right then. No. Eve, what's your own version? Eve, you said, well, it's the serpent. It's the serpent. It's the serpent, not me. It's the serpent. And that's the nature we all have in the flesh. In the flesh, we blame somebody. Oh, my problem is because of that person. My problem. No. Quit that. And take responsibility and say, well, I have the choice to make. What if the tempter comes knocking at my door? Will I blame the tempter for falling into sin? No. The tempter came to sell his goods. Why did I buy it? You know how salesmen come and press your bell sometimes? But that doesn't mean you should buy their product. You can say, sorry, I don't need it. Did they force you to buy it? So if you buy it and then they've in the process extorted money from you, it's your fault. Why did you buy it? We can't even blame the devil for tempting us. Why did we fall? Because the Bible says if we fall in the day of adversity, it's not because of the devil, it's because our own strength is small. So the fault is ours. So it's time for us to wake up as the church and begin to take responsibility. So the choice is ours. So there are two possible ways. Number one way is the way of the flesh. I call that number one way because that's the way we are all programmed by default to react to things. It doesn't matter how spiritual we are. The number one way we often tend to react is in the flesh. You step on my toes. Ah! Who do you think you are? Then I remember. Ooh. It's like Peter after denying Jesus 3 times. Then he remembered. Oh. Then he wept. Oh.
And he says, and I promised him I will not deny him. Oh, I feel Jesus. Well, we miss it many times. But then, once you get yourself back in the spirit, just repent and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me. Give me strength to help me do it better next time. And move on. That's how it is. That's how it is. But we have to understand that that is the way we often tend to respond to situation. The number one way. That's why we have to check ourselves and look at our reaction. And if we find we are in the flesh, stop. Immediately stop at that point and say, no, I'm not going to do it that way. And make a U-turn and get back on the right road, the way of the Spirit. Because when you're on the way of the Spirit, God will bless you. God will take care of the situation. God will judge the enemy for you. God will rebuke the devil for you. God will even compensate you for any trouble you have suffered at the hands of the devil and the people he has used against you. Because the devil uses people and he uses circumstances. And the people that the devil is using many times don't even know that they are being used by the devil. But you can discern and know they are being used by the devil and not fall into the error and fall into the trap of the enemy. And just pray for them. Like Bible says, pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. Bless them. Don't curse them. How many people know that for you to bless those who are doing you wrong is not walking in the flesh? Because if you are to walk in the flesh, somebody is doing you wrong. Bless them. No. God, not that one. Not this one. This is my number one trouble in life. To bless him. Well, I won't bless him and I won't curse him, but I will leave him as he is. But God says, bless him. Don't leave him as he is. You know how it is? But you see, when we're in the flesh, that's how we are. Because we want to please ourselves. We don't see it the way God says it. God says, bless them. How can I bless this person? Not this person. If there are other people that are better, I can bless those ones. Not this one. Forget about this one. God, didn't you see all that they did to me? God said, well... Do you know more than me? I said, bless him. Why? Because God has a plan. God has a plan. And oftentimes we fall short because we just want to have it our own way. So the number one way is the way of the flesh. And the flesh symbolizes the sinful nature in us. And that is the way of the natural man, our natural way, our intellect, our reasoning, our emotion, our feelings, all that is in the flesh, not in the spirit. And that's how we react. And that's why we have to examine ourselves every day to find out whether we are walking in the spirit or in the flesh and make adjustments as necessary. Because that's usually the first point of response. And then when we realize we're in the flesh, then we put it in subjection and get out of the flesh into the spirit. But then we have to gradually build ourselves up in our most holy faith, Bible says, and you know, get to the point where we are strong with the strength of God on a daily basis, like Jesus said. And then we'll find out that we are reacting more and more to situation in the spirit rather than in the flesh. This is a gradual process of growth. It's a gradual process of maturing in the spirit. Because the more we mature in the spirit, the less the flesh will rule us. So we'll then find ourselves, okay, somebody steps on my toes. I don't react like I used to react anymore. Now I just say, oh Lord, forgive him for he doesn't know what he's doing. Why? Because I'm building my life in the spirit. And the flesh is being brought in subjection to the spirit, as Apostle Paul said, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. I'm bringing my flesh in subjection to the spirit through the strength of God. You see? So, that's the number one way. Flesh, please write the scriptures and look at them when you get home. So, when I'm in the flesh, I'm doing my own will and my own pleasure. So, when I'm in the flesh, just know any time I'm in the flesh, it's not the will of God. It's my will. And it's not the pleasure of God, it's my own pleasure. I'm pleasing myself, I'm doing my will in the flesh. There's no point even trying to say, well, God will understand. No. Just know God doesn't understand that one. That's my own choice now. I've made the wrong choice. I need to
get out of it. In front of that, please write Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, Romans chapter 7, verse 5, and Romans chapter 8, verse 8. You see, when I'm in the flesh, I'm leaning on my own human understanding because I'm walking the way every other person will walk, naturally, using my natural senses, my feelings, my intellect, you see. And the way of the flesh is the way of sin, as Bible says right there in Romans chapter 7. In fact, let's just quickly turn to that, Romans chapter 7 and verse 5. You see, when we are in the flesh, the sinful nature is gaining the upper hand in us. That's why we must not even indulge in the way of the flesh at all. It's against God. It's never in agreement with God. There's no way I can be in the flesh and please God. It's just not possible. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins. You see that? So flesh and sins go together. You never be in the flesh and be righteous in what you are doing at that point in time. No way. The flesh is sin. It came about because of sin. You see, the one that was sinning from the beginning, Bible says, is the devil. He went in the garden in the form of the serpent and corrupted man with the nature of sin. And flesh was born at that point in time. Man became his own God. I just do what I like. Remember, he told Eve, he said, well, that same tree that God told you don't eat from is the tree that you need to make you wise. It's the tree that you need to make you like God. In other words, you don't need to listen to God anymore. You become God to yourself. So your will now, not God's will. And it's the same thing today. While we're in Romans chapter 8, let's quickly look at that, verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Please underline the key word, cannot. So when you're in the flesh, just say, I'm in the wrong place. I'm working against God. God can't help me. God can't bless me. I need to get myself out of this place very fast. It's the wrong place to be. Once we all understand that, we'll help ourselves to make the right choices. Now, the second way is the way of the Spirit. That's the place to be. That's the place to be. So the second possible way we respond to situations that come our way every day is the way of the Spirit. So this is the new nature, the divine nature that we have as Christians. The people of the world don't have it, so they can't walk in it. The people of the world will always walk in the flesh, 100 times out of 100, because they don't have the Spirit. They don't have the new nature, the nature of God. But you and I that are Christians, we have that new nature. So both the old nature and the new nature live together in us. So when you get from study Romans chapter 7, the old chapter is very good, helps us to understand that the two natures are in us and they are warring against one another, just as Galatians chapter 5 tells us, the spirit and the flesh, they lust against each other. So that is the nature of God. So when I'm in the spirit, I am doing the will of God and I am pleasing God. Hallelujah. So I'm in the will of God and I am pleasing God. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5 for that. So every time I am in the spirit, I don't need a prophet to tell me. In fact, you yourself, you find a witness in you. You know, when you're in the spirit, there's a sensation deep on the inside of you that just makes you feel at peace. And also, you find a sense of joy and satisfaction deep within you when you obey God. Isn't that so? But when you disobey God, you find unrest, even on the inside of yourself. Because the voice of conscience is always speaking up on the inside of us, but we don't listen. That's the problem. We don't listen. Because the Holy Spirit, when we're about to go in the flesh, will be prompting us and say, don't go that way. Don't go that way. That will make you fall in the hand of the enemy. Don't go that way. But we don't listen. We just shut him up and just go our way. And then we grieve him. And he leaves us to our own devices. But
When we walk in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself is pleased in us, and he bears witness with our own human spirit that we are the children of God, doing the will of God at that point, and we are going to get the blessing and get the reward from God. Now look at Galatians chapter 5. When we are in the Spirit, we are really pleasing God. We are doing the right thing. We are going to really be blessed. From verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Please underline that. Against such, there is no law. In other words, when you are in the Spirit, you passed everything. You scored 100%. No mistake. No fault. That's what it means there. No fault. Because according to the law of God, if you've done everything right and you miss it at one point, you fail all. That's God's law. But when you're in the Spirit, there's no law against you because you are just perfect. That's exactly how God himself would do it in that situation. For instance, somebody persecutes you. You don't curse them. Against that, there's no law. Why? Because that's exactly how God himself would have done it. Remember, Jesus was persecuted. He didn't curse them on the cross. He was saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Remember, Stephen also, if some of us think that, well, that was because I was Jesus. Stephen was a little man like you and I. Stoned to death. And still praying for those who are stoning him to death. I said, Father, don't charge that to their account. In other words, don't even put any blot on their account in heaven for what they have done. That's a hard thing, man. See, some of us today in the church, we think we are holy. We are nowhere near that. People are stoning you. That's no joke. They are stoning you to death. You are in pain and in agony. And you are still praying for them. Some of us, somebody just merely brush us, not even step on us. Didn't you see the way you are going? Don't you have eyes? Is there no big enough space for you to pass that you are bumping into me? Who do you think you are? Are you blind? You know, there's a problem with us. Too much flesh. We need to be like Stephen. Well, you see, Stephen decided to make the right choice. He could have chosen at that point to curse them. But do you know that the prayer of Stephen was what made Saul of Tarsus to become Paul that we are benefiting from today? It's right there in the book of Acts. The prayer of Stephen was the key to Saul becoming Paul. Because he said, God, don't charge it to their account. So Jesus could go to Saul of Tarsus and choose him, who was persecuting his church, and choose him to become his apostle. Thank God for the way of the Spirit. And also, please write this down to emphasize the point that we need to make the choice as we close. So, choosing between the flesh and the Spirit is a personal choice. Nobody else can do it for you. So you can't blame someone else. It's your own choice. In front of that, write Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. Let's quickly turn there. And we'll just close there and pick it up next time. But we'll realize, you may note this now as we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. You see, to help yourself make the right choice to walk in the Spirit, we shall be looking at that some other time. There are three key things you need to be doing regularly. You see, we can't fold our hands and expect to just walk in the Spirit. It doesn't happen that way. We have to build up our spiritual strength, so to say, in order to make the right choice to walk in the Spirit. Please write this down. Begin to meditate on it. We'll look at it next time. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31, and then under that, write these three key things. Because Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. So we have to get the strength from God in order to walk in the Spirit. We can't do it without His strength. So
We have to wait upon Him to get strength from Him. And three key things Bible teaches us that we need to do regularly as Christians to wait on God is, number one, study and meditate in the Word diligently, day and night. Don't do it when you have time only. No, make it a point of duty, because you want to build up your spiritual strength. Study and meditate in the Word of God day and night, like God told Joshua. Number two, pray always, like Jesus said the church should do. Pray always. Praying at all times. Someone says, don't I have all that? Well, you can pray all day long. And you know what? When you pray all day long, by the time you sleep at night, your spirit will continue to pray in the realm of the spirit. Because you've just exercised yourself to so much in the waking times of the day in the spirit that when you are asleep, the spirit just continues to flow in the same realm. You can be praying no matter what you are doing. You see, religion taught us that the only way we can pray is when we have a place where we can kneel down, put our hands together, close our eyes. That's the only time you can pray. No. You can pray while you are walking on the road. You can pray while you are in the bathroom. You can pray while you are doing any other thing you are doing, because you can be praying in the spirit under your breath, like you can be making melody in your heart to the Lord while you are doing other things. Isn't that so? Sometimes you are praying, nobody even knows you are praying, because you are not even saying any words out of your mouth, but your spirit is praying. You can pray all day long and just stay in flow with the spirit, because when you are in tune with the spirit, it will guide you through what you need to do that day and give you help at every point. And then thirdly, praise God always. God inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 22 verse 3, thou art holy, we inhabit the praises of his people. And God is spirit, isn't he? So if I'm praising him and he's dwelling upon my praise, then the spirit realm is in control at that point. We shall be looking at that later, but turn with me quickly to Deuteronomy, and that's where we are stopping today. Chapter 30, we all know it very well, but let's see it again. You see, God is a good God, and God is consistent. It doesn't change. He said, I'm the Lord, I do not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So don't think that, well, God has changed his ways. God has always been demanding obedience, and is still demanding the same thing. From the first man, Adam, through to his son, Jesus, while he was here, and all the patriarchs, all the prophets, and now the church, God is demanding the same thing, obedience, but it's a choice that we have to make. No one else will make it for us. Verse 19, let's read together, Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. Let's go. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Notice God didn't say, I choose for you. God tells them the truth about the two ways. One way is called the way of blessing. The other way is called the way of cursing. And God gives them wise counsel, the right way to choose. Because if God had just said one way is way of blessing, one way is way of cursing, and didn't advise them the right way, they would have said, we didn't know. That's why we made the wrong choice. God tells them, choose life. That's the one you should choose. But it is your choice. Now, looking back, let us answer within ourselves. Did they choose what God told them to choose? No. They chose exactly what God said, don't choose. That's why the same land God gave them, enemy came and took them away from it. God is no respecter of persons. So the way of obedience to God is the way of blessing. The way of walking in the Spirit is the way of obedience. Now let us pray tonight, this afternoon now, before we go. In the name of Jesus, turn with me quickly to the book of Hebrews. We're going to use that to pray and just thank God for the Holy Spirit, who is our helper. He will help us when we ask help of Him. He never fails. He never fails to help. But we have to ask. We have to ask. We have to ask. We have to ask. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed Holy Spirit, we ask you to help us and give us the grace to do the right thing and serve God with humility, reverentially, and obediently. In the name of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12. Let us read together from verse 25 to 28. Or better still, let's pick it from verse 22 so that we'll see that this concerns us as the church also today, so that we don't just read that and say, well, that was for Israel of old. It has nothing to do with us. You see, everything that happened to Israel was a type of the church, and we have to understand that very clearly, because God is calling us in Christ Jesus to be the seed of Abraham, as Bible teaches us, and to be heirs according to the promise. Let's go. But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with a reverence and godly fear. Amen. Notice Bible says we ought to have grace whereby. In other words, we can't do it without the grace of God. None of us can please God without His grace. None of us can walk in the Spirit without the grace of God. Thank God for grace. And so I want you personally to just ask Him for that grace this morning. This is the time when we just have to go one-on-one with the Lord. Jesus has brought grace for us all. But if you really want it, then receive it. He said, come and buy freely without money. Come. Because He wants us to have His resources. He knows we need His strength. He said, apart from Him, we can do nothing. But again, He does not force Himself on us. And He does not make choices for us. We choose. So go on and say, God, give me more grace. Oh, more grace, Lord, to strengthen me in my weaknesses. Because your grace is sufficient for me. Your strength is made perfect in my weakness. Give me more grace day by day, Lord, to walk in the Spirit so that I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Help me, Lord, daily to spend more time in the Word, studying the Word and meditating in it. Help me, Lord, to spend more time in prayer daily. Help me to spend more time praising you rather than complaining, that I will just spend time praising you at all times and give you thanks in everything. For that is your will for me in Christ. Not to complain about anything, but to praise you and thank you in every situation.
Oh Lord, give me the grace to do these things so that I may walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In the name of Jesus. Now lift your hands to Him and thank Him.